I'm not really sure what I was saying to Tom. I know this reading's contextualised some way, but I'm not really sure what about it. So what I'll do is, because when I was at, I got a job teaching in the university, and I wrote something about theory, there was a lot of theory getting taught, and I wrote something about theory. And then Vasiliki Kolokotroni teaches modernism up there in Glasgow. I mean, she says, come on, give a lecture to the theory class. So anyway, I did it every year then for a few years. I tended to call the lecture "Hyper-articulacy in the Face of Art, a University Disease." before each lecture, probably I'll get ushered out to that. I just let that to the ontological validity of the subject. So I'll just give a reading. 100 differences between poetry and prose. Poetry stops before the end of the margin. You can talk about prose without mentioning school. You don't read poetry to get from Glasgow to Salkirk's without noticing. John Menzies doesn't stop poetry. Who ever heard of War and Peace having the line as a unit of semantic yield? You can call a poem what you want and say it's poetic license. Poetry is a subliminal history of linguistic shape. Poetry has four wheels, two wings, and a pair of false teeth. Poetry is the heart and the brain divided by the lungs. Poetry is the world's oldest cock and fanny story. You don't get prose in anapestic dimeters. Nobody publishes a first slim volume of prose. Aristotle never wrote the proses. If you dribble past five defenders, it isn't called sheer prose. Poets are unacknowledged thingy-bobs. Poetry is quintessentially contrapuntal. The square root of poetry is an ever-evolving quark. Whenever Virgil looked in the mirror, he beheld an epic Latin poet. Poetry is all the juicy bits in the juiciest order. Poetry is jellied religion. Pascal, if your labourers complain too much, try taking them to a poetry reading. Prose goes splud. Prose goes splud, splud, clump, clump, clump. Are you sitting comfortably in our land? I noticed the poet artist that's concluding the day when talking about space, and I mean my own development as a poet was really kind of took off with the developments in America in the 50s, through Olson and Crayley and various people, and Olson's very significant essay on projective verse of 1950, which would link space as a factor on the page and eye movement with kinesis and movement. And ever since, I mean, I see the great Fichter and poetry in Britain, for instance, as people who have never made that jump, as most of the so-called mainstream haven't. I mean, one of the things I found when the creative writing crew was with Jim Kilman and Alistair Green and I were trying to make a plate of space, more or less ignore the institution around a bit, of, you know, before it came time slots and income generation and all this shite. But I mean, we were sort of kind of trying to get people, you know, be below the radar of the bloody research unit and mob. as opening people up to the actual tangibility of space, that space is a factor in the poem itself. And I divide poets, I don't divide them intellectually, but I tend to be more or less uninterested in people who haven't grasped that yet. And I tend to think of it as being ontological politics, as much as even politics about power and that. There's ontological politics, which a great poem that although he was latterly came to that way was W.S. Graham, who went from very dense sort of kind of Dylan Thomas kind of prolixity and density of metaphor to that's a kind of ontological politics in his later work. It's the kind of thing that you get, even in my favourite book, novels usually tend to be so-called anti-novels, like Tristram Shandy, where, you know, you're given the space to do what you like with it. Fill that in as you see fit, you know. there's a wonderful poem by Sidney Graham called The Constructed Space, which is about that the area constructed between reader and author. It is a conceptual space, literally, but the concept behind it is absolute democracy. The occasion of democracy, the instance of the poem, the instance of the page, that's how I see it. Anyway, I didn't expect to get into a little lecture there, you know. I'll read a poem that a sequence called An Ayrshire Mother, about 2 to 3 years ago I was asked to contribute to a book called New Poems Chiefly in the Scottish Dialect, which is a variation obviously on Burns's 1786 Poems Chiefly in the Scottish Dialect. And it was Robert Crawford and St Andrews who wrote to the 8 or 9 is asking us to do 5 pages of Scots poems. I still don't know what the hell Scots means. It's usually people at the Minister of Culture talking posh English, men swearing his oath on Scots, you know. But I mean, for somebody like me who comes from Glasgow or a working class background, I still have an old sound system full of vowels, which these characters long went to places like this to get rid of, you know. if you get rid of them, you might become a prisoner for what's there. Where was it? Right, An Ayrshire Mother. So I thought, I can't do that, but my mother walked into my head and said, aye, you can, you know, she was from Salkirk in Ayrshire. So this is a kind of elegy to my mother. In her terms, I wrote a poem about 6 months after she died, which was a wee elegy in my terms, I suppose. But this is in her terms. It's just a collection of her sayings from her mouth. I'll do it briefly before. Well, I've got a glossary in the back. Four and a blocks, I take a council house. A reference to the coronation flag, that was in June 1953 when the Queen's coronation. Oh, at school we got a wee tin of sweeties, but also, but you know, it was these sort of sixpenny flags that people put up on the windows and stuff. Bone combing was like a dust comb, you know. Hoxton lounging idly, CNA, etc., former department stores. Wabbit article, a tired person, couched is emptied out. Red up, tidied up, clay steep, clothes steeped, a steer, a stub, a rig out, a set of clothes, a tire. Kurtz and quotes Susan. The Sacred Heart, an image of Christ often seen in the living room of Catholic homes. Well, particularly, I don't know about this song, but anyway, in the 50s, had it above the mantelpiece. In Winter Dykes, I grew up thinking that if they use the word Winter Dykes, I'd say it's a clothes horse. I suppose it's historically in the summer you put the clothes out and the dykes out in the open air. And in the winter you had them around the fire and this thing called the Winter Dykes. Anyway, so. And my mother, after she died, found these two pay packets in her drawer, which was she'd kept since 1933, before she got married. I'd rather she'd tell us about them, because they were the last thing she was able to sign for in her own name. After she got married, she could only sign for the family allowance. And there's our mother. The last pie in the factory in 1933, before I got married, the last thing I could sign for before the family allowance. My husband Tommy, my daughter Kathy, Eric, John and Tom, my women's weekly, my people's friend, my dressing and sockets held, a phone in a block, toilet and bathroom, up and down stairs, front and back garden. I says to Tommy when they gave us the keys, I'll die in this house. But the folk across the road and the Kellys next door, I put out a coronation flag and Tommy no pleased, because Tommy's from Dublin, but I'm Scottish, no Irish, or maybe a Catholic family, but she's our queen and all. My rosary beads, my women's guild, my chapel, the once a week yesterday's paper under their chin, bone combing. Your socks is in the drawer, a clean shirt out of a baccarat chair. Did you wash your neck? Huckster in a book, you're facing that book. Look, the sun's out. Get some air about their legs. CNA, Arnott Simpson's, Lewis's stores. A WABA article loaded with messages back through the tune. The ashes couch, nae laws, what a fiend gets. The hoose red up, my brass is done. The clay step, sheets out the back, tatties in the boil. I'll give the soup a steer. I knew the good, Kirkston, Tom, speak proper. In memoriam, Mary McConnell will grow, 1909-78. The Sacred Heart, above the Winter Dykes, set round the fire. Being a human being, for Mordecai and Inu, not to be complicit, not to accept everyone else as silent, it must be all right, not to keep one's mouth shut to hold on to one's job, not to accept public language as cover and decoy, not to put friends and family before the rest of the world, not to say I am wrong when you know the government is wrong. Not to be just a bought behaviour pattern. To accept the moment and fact of choice. I am a human being and I exist. A human being and a citizen of the world. Responsible to that world. And responsible for that world. Remembrance Day. I know what it is to be powerless. I know what it is to be made to lie low while an unknown enemy invades you. What it is not to have words for what is happening, for grass and tree and inanimate thing to be your only witness. On the clearest day of a childhood, almost 50 years ago. How I hate male fucking violence. This day I will wear nor white nor red, nor count myself solitary instead. I remember the many who know what it is to be made to lie low while the enemy, known or unknown, invades in dead of night or in the field. That spoil of war, that earth's oldest currency. June the 2nd. It is dawn and my wife is coming to bed. And she's been watching a film about the life of Charlie Parker. And the air in the bedroom is silent while she undresses. And the light is there at the side of the curtain beyond her head. And she tells me his body gave up on drinking drugs when he was 34. And I decide I'm awake and go to the kitchen for a drink of water. And the sky in the north is translucent like a lake. Translucent like a lake, though it is only 3 a.m. And when I go back, we lightly hold hands, as we sometimes do, until the first to be falling asleep begins to twitch, and tonight it's Sonia. And I withdraw my hand and lie back, looking at the ceiling. I am aged 51 years and 9 months and 9 to 10 days. I just did a couple of them. I wrote 4 sequences of dialect stuff. I never know what you call them. 4 Glasgow poems between the 68 and 69, 70. I'll just read 2 or 3 and give you the sound of it. A summer's day. Your eyes are, put it this way, I think you're beautiful, like, fact, I think you're, I love you, that's just the way it is, like, that's all there is to say. Moral philosophy. What do you mean? Listen to me talking to you, right? Oh, I don't, where was I? No, aye, what's his name? Him with it, you know, you're not even listening. Name of God, I don't know. The dropout. Scrimp and scrape for you. Are you grateful? No one but. Spout useless, you're twisted as a corkscrew. Cause rousing an empty hoose. Your father never had your chance. Pick and choose your job. A steady pay. Well, just take a look at yourself. Neither work nor want. Oh, aye, you're clever. Damn clever. But you haven't a clue what you're doing. After it begins a spiel about what was right and what was wrong, but this and that and the next thing, I says to the bloke, and what is it you call your job, Jimmy? I'm a liaison coordinator. He says, oh good. I says, a liaison coordinator. Just what this area needs. What with all the unemployment and all the burying, the boys running a lot and the houses 40 bits and the women in tranquilizers. At last they've sent us a liaison coordinator. Somebody with a degree, fuck knows what. Getting paid for no knowing what the fuck to do with it. You sort of keep trying to avoid it, that's the difficult bit of it. Just keep finding yourself sitting, watching the telly or looking out the window. That way you say, Christ, I could go a wrong egg, or what's the time, fuck me. With me, cooking oil, we need potatoes. I'll just read this sequence and then end with a couple of poems. This is a sequence called Nora's Place. which this is, I call it a poem in 17 aspects. And the second last aspect is an image using the phrase Nora's Place, which shows a kind of multi-stories. It's basically Nora evidently lives up some high rise. And she's got two children. And this is a kind of mono. It's a kind of partly first person, partly first person, third person thing. And I just say also because it sometimes depending on the audience, there's two, it's from a very, well, I didn't think so when I wrote it, but I realise she's actually from a very working class culture. And say, so I'll ask you, not that you would, but please don't laugh a couple of bits. There's a bit where she says something about he can't give them chips twice a day, and sometimes I go, But honestly, a lot of people do give folk chips twice a day. And there's also a list of, there's one that says the section of a supermarket, so that goes on. It says the contents of a supermarket, but anyway, we'll get in there. So I'll just read it, the untitled. Nora's Place. Across the park, walking, I can't be bothered making the dinner, going through all the routines and subroutines, setting it up with the radio at four to do the peeling, work out what the rota has been of food this past week or so. Is it time again for fish? Trying to get the girls not eat before dinner when they come in from school. I protest at this place with no people in it, objects for reproducing images, people not actually present, from this wall to this wall, and this wall to this wall. Yes, I'm all for them becoming union rep. Don't let them get away with it. Obviously, the last settlement was a complete sellout, but then, aren't most union leaders like that? Only executive, hobnobbing far too much with managers. First name terms, and they're always paid far more than the worst off who need the union most. Dives and Lazarus, that's what we agreed last night at dinner time. Soon it will be the familiar footsteps, time, sometimes from the bottom of the stairs the voices drift up, maybe. If you happen to look out the window at the right time, it is the right time for a wave. The wave, people are coming home, home to the place that has not existed these past hours. If they're finding the dinner school portions too wee, it must be the cutbacks. That'll mean they'd better come home at the back of 12:30 every day. Or better maybe keep a big pot of soup in the go and some frozen packets, hamburgers, fish fingers, that sort of thing. You can't give them chips twice a day, though. It wouldn't be a healthy diet. Maybe I'll try to get them to go back to dinner school, take pieces with them though, to eke it out. I don't know what we share exclusively now. Other than the children, the best time was when we shared the same political outlook exclusively, but now you've others you can do that with. The shared anger and injustice can be had elsewhere. The main thing to have controlled contempt for the idea of breakdown, which is completely unromantic and painful, despite its aura and pseudo-visionary crap about insights, usually obsessive petty vanities to do with God and the devil and one-dimensional trains of thought that go on and people don't understand you any better at the end of it. Through the revolving turnstile past, tomatoes, mushrooms, peppers, potatoes, cheese island, milk, margarine, yoghurt, pizzas, jams, marmalades, beans, peas, carrots, pulses, sausage, coffee, tea, spaghetti, oops, through the revolving turnstile past, tomatoes, mushrooms, peppers, potatoes, cheese island, milk, margarine, yogurt, pizzas, jams, marmalades, beans, peas, carrots, pulses, sauces, coffee, tea, spaghetti, hoops, spam, tuna, salmon, ambrosia, creamed rice, soups, cornflakes, all brands, shredded wheat, fruit juice, soda stream, cooking oil, disposable bin liners, Brillo, Dettol, washer, soothing crystals, Elastoplast, toothpaste, Kleenex, toilet rolls, soap powders, fairy liquid, dog food, bird's eye, cod steaks, hamburgers, frozen turkey, chicken, New Zealand lamb, biscuit only, fresh fish, on the spot baking, stand, leaning in a trolley, waiting. Nora drinks too much. Sometimes one beer is enough to make her go. What is it about Nora's drinking? Nora creates an environment in which she's approved. If she sits with drinkers, her being a drinker is approved. She is, quote, finally approved, simply for what she is, unquote. Nora is allowed out of the house twice a week. Nora's terms are that she doesn't sit with males. Nora doesn't want to sit with males anyway. Nora sits with Alice and Betty. They're always there. When Nora gets to the Whistler's dog, Alice and Betty approve of her coming. Now he has an affair of the soul elsewhere. Now he has a chance to be, quote, as free as himself, unquote. That is what it's about. The sense to be, quote, as free as himself, unquote. Maybe to be as free as himself, he has to have the mother at home. When will Nora become herself? When will Nora feel, quote, as free as herself, unquote? Is Nora, quote, just another person, unquote? You get that way, you get scared to go, don't you? Just that way that you find yourself putting off going to the butchers or the newsagents. That thing about just talking, where do you put your eyes? Where do you put your eyes when you're just talking? People can tell when you're not good at it, look, surprised and a bit hurt. Lying looking sideways up at the bedside photo of my youngest. Strange to see that smile, that same set of features on the face of a woman of 50 looking back into the room on an occasion I will never know, long after I'm dead. Out there in sexual space, deep in the darkness, breath and rhythm moving to join into our orb. How quirky I am, but I'm not a table or a pen or a hill. I'm just a human being, totally representative, as anyone is outside the self. And in it, I wish you would touch me more. It makes me feel happy and secure. Here she comes down the stairs, slowly, shopping bag in hand, trying not to think of the heartbeat, the shallow speed of the breathing. Do you listen to your breath? Who on earth tries to control her breath on their way to the shops in the image? Only this particular street to walk the length of this is not a metaphor. Only being suddenly walking down a street in this place, having this particular sense, not of anxiety, but, quote, the fact of the presence of existence, unquote. Each time it happens, it seems that all intervening times have disappeared, and this is all that Nora really is. So I suppose that's a bit of space, you know. I'll just finish.